What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to another live Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, my good friend, Jack Manuel. Jack, what's popping?
We've got more Nets news.
Exactly what I like to hear. And as always, quick reminder, you can find the show on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also, head to Design Tree, grab yourself a Brooklyn Buzz t-shirt. Also, just drop the Sean Marks one. I think you guys will find pretty funny. But Jack, I'm going to pass it over to you.
So we'll start with DeAndre Jordan, Nick, who spoke to Gothamist and in relation to Kevin Durant and the free agency decision. So this is relating to the free agency decision. Not to knock the culture the Knicks are creating, but we like what Nets coach Kenny Atkinson is doing, and GM Sean Marks has been awesome for the organization from top to bottom, has been great. So you want to be a part of something like that, especially when you have a chance to play with other great players and build something.
I think that just tells you that players have taken note of what the Nets are doing as an organizational standpoint, then also what Sean Marks has done. And then the most importantly, I think what Kenny Atkinson has done, him getting a shout out and players kind of wanting to play for a guy like Kenny, I think screams a lot about the Nets franchise.
Yeah, and obviously he wasn't besmirching the Knicks at all, but there's been rumblings that DeAndre didn't necessarily like, or he wasn't as enamored with his time in New York and Manhattan as he would be heading to Brooklyn, just down the borough. So I think that those are all positive things. You know, the fact that he shouted out specifically Coach Kenny and Sean Marks and the culture overall. I think he, you know, people were sort of saying, you know, from left, right, and center, from people outside of sort of the Nets Twitter sphere, it's like, well, who cares about culture? Who cares about culture? It's just culture. Well, culture's got us, you know, three of the top free agents, and, you know, obviously DeAndre Jordan is part of that package. And, you know, obviously DeAndre was a huge underlying point in all of that because he is so close with Kevin Durant. I don't think that if you give that contract to DeAndre Jordan, you know, I don't think you get Kevin Durant at the end of the day. And if that's the price you're willing to pay, then so be it. And I think that when you we've spoken about this before, when you have Kevin Durant and your friends around you, you want to do better. You want to perform better. And, you know, he's got great coaches that I think can get more out of him. And Sean Marks, obviously, in Marks We Trust, DesignTree.com, DSGNTree.com for a pretty cool tee for that one as well.
Yeah, 100% spot on. I think obviously DeAndre was a domino effect. Like, you've got him and it helped bring in the other guys. And the fact is that it didn't go so smoothly with the Knicks and MSG. Definitely helped the case because we know KD has talked to Jordan about his free agent decisions in the past. And I'm sure he did it this year as well and kind of gave him that inside info. And then obviously you had Kyrie, who was communicating with Spencer Dinwiddie, finding out more information. And all that information from Jordan and Kyrie is going back to KD, who obviously is a top free agent, you know, whatever, unless you want to say Kawhi. And now all of a sudden the culture helps bring it in. And like you said, when the Nets first talked about culture, people are like, no one cares about culture. Well, hey, it worked for the Nets and I think a lot of other teams. And you could argue it worked for the Clippers too. And a lot of rebuilding teams are going to look at that moving forward.
They certainly are. They're trying to build something similar in New Orleans, Atlanta, all those other teams. But Crimson Striker, Nicholas, before we get on to the next few topics, people starting to read some articles thinking that we might lose Karras next season. People pointing out the redundancy factor, too many ball handlers. Our focus, apparently, according to these people, that we should focus on Joe Harris instead. Obviously, with so what are your thoughts and opinions on this?
Probably no chance. First off, even if the Nets felt like they didn't want to retain Karis LeVert, it would make almost no sense for them to not re-sign him unless they got like a crazy sign and trade offer. But I think Karis LeVert, we mentioned it, KD has interest playing with him. He's already developing a relationship with Kyrie. And Sean and Kenny view Karis as like their baby. Like, he's the first guy they brought in. He's the first guy they started to develop. And he's done everything they've wanted. And he's been a big part of that culture. And I think his character plays a big impact on the Nets organization, and it's going to play a big impact in that locker room. And I'd be devastated, and I'm sure like a lot of Nets teammates would be pretty upset about it too, because he just seems like a very lovable guy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the good thing from his individual perspective is because this, you know, the next free agency class is so weak, you know, him and Buddy Hield as restricted free agents are probably the two most attractive free agents in that class in general, just off the top of my head. You know, there aren't many sort of superstars as there was this year. You know, 2021 is when it gets a little more spicy and juicy. So I think the Nets will certainly be looking at, in maybe a similar sort of vein to Spencer Dinwiddie, at re-signing him, extending him at a certain point. It's certainly a story to watch, though, because, you know, I think they would do everything in their power to retain him. But plenty of funny things could happen in the NBA, and Caris LeVert deserves a decent extension. And you know, if he proves it up to a point in December, January, then I think he'll get a pretty hefty extension that he deserves. Obviously, you know, the cap and how it works, you're sort of solidifying yourself to this core if you do re-sign Caris LeVert, but I don't think that's a bad thing either.
And I think you look at the Nets is like, they're not going to have cap flexibility to bring in more players for the future years until, you know, KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre are off the book. So you almost are forced to retain him because you want to keep the assets you have in terms of a young player. And like we talked about, I think it would make sense, kind of like in the Spencer Dinwiddie situation, to get ahead of it before you have to go to free agency, because someone will send him an offer sheet. Like, someone's going to have a lot of space. Who knows? Like, the Knicks could have a lot of space and be like, hey, we want to offer Caris LeVert a big offer sheet. And then you just like can't let him go, and then you maybe have to slightly overpay. So I think it would be smart to get that extension done sooner than later.
Yeah, I agree with that. And on the same sort of point, he's jumped in again, Crimson. Think Caris can work off the ball well enough when KD comes back?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big focus for him this year. You know, we've seen him working on shooting a little bit in the limited videos we've seen of him, but we talked about on the last show, defensively is a major skill that he can pick up and become a really good defender. And he's still a good transition player. He can still cut off ball. You know, he probably is one of the better cutters on the Nets when it terms of ability to finish. He still has that slashing ability. So I think the one thing that's going to determine if he's a really good off-ball player will be, you know, his off-ball movement and his three-point shooting. If he can get that to a higher level, he'll have no issue fitting in with Kyrie and KD.
Yeah, and he's been putting in work with his boy, Spencer Dinwiddie. We've seen plenty of Instagram videos. It's obviously a positive thing to see. But the final comment from DeAndre Jordan in relation to Kevin Durant's recovery before we move on to some other Nets news. We've got a lot of talent on this team. You know, obviously, Kevin had a tough injury. He's going to be out for a while, but he's progressing great. He's recovering fast and will be even better when we get him back and healthy. Positive stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you expect from a best friend. That's like, you know, it just kind of just has that vibe to it. But I mean, KD has looked pretty good. Like, he looks like looks a little bit like more muscular than we've seen in the past. I don't know if it's just like the lighting in the pictures, but he's putting in work. And we talked about, one reason we have confidence in him getting back to an extremely high level is because of his work ethic and the mentality he has being in love with basketball.
Yeah, definitely. I think that he, you know, shows, you know, we expect him to come back at some form or close to himself. But, you know, he looks good. He's repping the Nets basketball when he's, you know, hanging around in the pool. Wherever he is in LA, boy, oh boy, does it look beautiful. Need to get me an invite, KD. I'll sign those DMs. I'll hit you up, my dude. But we'll move on to some Summer League sort of notes, Nick. And you posted these on your Twitter, at OTG Nick. And I'll pick out probably the ones that stick out the most. So this was an opposing executive on the Nets summer. Hard to hate on them. They paid DeAndre too much, but whatever. They helped them get Kyrie and Kevin. This year will be a transition year anyway, but I think they'll be pretty good. Next year, if KD is back, look out.
I think that's the same vibe we have. And just a quick shout out to Keith Smith, who I did get the Summer League notes from. He's excellent in terms of like low-key, very good reporter for the NBA if you want some info. But back to the topic. Yeah, I mean, we look at this year, it's a progress. They're trying to progress, but next year when KD's fully healthy, that's when this team's going to be really good. And you'll see guys on this roster, and we talked about on a show with Nick Cuvallo comparing the Raptors to the Nets. A lot of these guys are going to take a jump, and this is another year for them to get better. So when KD returns, they'll be closer to the best versions of themselves.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, you know, stuff to watch there. Speaking to a Nets coach on the additions, we should be pretty good. We have competition up and down the roster. That's what we're all about. No one gets a free roster spot here. That keeps us hungry and working. Love that.
Yeah, and I think that gives credit also to Sean Marks for getting a ton of good NBA players in the team where, hey, guys are going to be fighting for rotation minutes. You know, you have a couple clear-cut starters, but other guys, like, there's going to be a battle for that power forward spot. There's probably going to be a battle for that three spot. The center position, there's going to be a battle for. And then the rest of the minutes, like, there's a lot of guys that can contribute to this team. It'll be interesting to see who gets minutes and how they kind of dictate that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, competition within for roster spots can and rotation spots can, you know, to lead to a sort of toxic environment. But it seems to me that the area of competition is sort of, you know, emphasized in Brooklyn, and Coach Kenny and Sean Marks have built that sort of competitive culture to bring out the best in each other. And I think that, you know, to an extent that is definitely true. But I think there is a fine balance now with DeAndre, with Kyrie heading into next season. But I think that the fact that it's embedded, it seems like a good thing. And, you know, who would know better than, you know, a Nets coach exactly on that. But speaking of an opposing coach, and he spoke about on the addition of Kyrie and KD, I don't know. I love what they had built. Kyrie is a different dude. You have to build around him because he's not plug and play. KD is great, but he's hurt. And last year, we all thought Boston gets to add guys to that roster, and that didn't work out so great. So I guess we'll see.
I mean, hey, I think it's fair to, you know, have some worries about the Nets roster, but I think the Nets feel pretty confident about Kyrie and what he can do and kind of his fit in the system from his own perspective. And then from the Nets perspective, you know, Kenny talked about, hey, I don't think the system's really going to change a ton. And I think like saying that Kyrie's not really a plug and play guy is kind of a little bit of just like a take, you know what I mean? Because like you've seen him play different roles. We saw him be the lead guy in Boston. We saw him be the second guy in Cleveland. We saw him play off ball. We've seen him play on ball. Obviously there's some expectations for what he needs to do on the floor, but I think he can fit in different roles. I think that's a little bit of a hot take in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think we'll get to some more Kyrie comments a little bit later, but we do need to move on. I am moving on to an opposing Eastern Conference guard on the Nets. They were already tough. Now you've got to defend Kyrie and others. Come on, man. And DeAndre Jordan will let you know he's there by dropping you with the screen. They're going to be good. They're going to be really good.
I mean, I want to know who that guard is. Like, I really want to know, like, who it is.
You could literally probably look at, like, the Summer League and who was there because there's only so many players actually appeared there.
Yeah, and it has to probably be someone pretty good, you would think. Like, most of the good guys are there. Like, you don't really see – I mean, you do see some of the lower-end talent there as well, but I'm intrigued by that. And I think it says positive things about the Nets. Like, they were already annoying last year to defend. Now you throw in Kyrie Irving, and then you throw in a great screen setter like DeAndre Jordan. Okay, yeah, like, I don't want to mess with the Nets.
Nah, that's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to the pick and roll combinations with those two, especially. It's certainly exciting times ahead. And the fact that, you know, they're already getting – Kyrie's, I think, revered by opposition players, you know, within the player ranks. I think he gets plenty of credit. And I think, you know, Kevin Durant is you know, the embodiment of that. But the final comment via a team executive on the Kevin Durant injury – there'll be no pressure for him to return even one day before he is ready. If anything, we'll hold him back. This isn't a one-year thing for us on Kevin. This is an agreement for 4 years at least. Big picture will rule this one.
It almost sounds like a statement from Sean Marks. Obviously,
it sounds like literally Sean Marks.
It does, right? Like just the way it's worded, it just sounds so Sean Marks-y. But I mean, we have no way to confirm it really is him. But I think that's the way you look at it. Like you're not putting pressure on KD. You want him to come back when he's ready. I think if you don't put pressure on him, he's almost more likely to come back sooner than later. And like you said, it's a long process. This isn't about 1 year. This isn't about this season. This is about the next couple seasons and what they can do to change the view of the franchise and possibly win some championships.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think, you know, the KD situation is something that we will follow closely. But Nick, there's some rumors going around and people have been talking about, obviously, in the offseason, there's not many topics to talk about, but the Nets could be appearing on Christmas Day versus the Celtics versus the Knicks. What are your thoughts on the Nets bringing some Christmas action?
I think we kind of talked about this a little bit when the impact that Kyrie and KD would have on the Nets. You know, Kyrie might not be a top five player, but he's a top five brand. And you even see all the hype he's getting with a new drop for his Kyrie SpongeBob shoes. I think it makes sense to put the Nets on Christmas because of the Kyrie attraction, especially to the younger audience. Like we know he connects well with them. So getting the Nets a primetime matchup on Christmas, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think that the history of the Nets appearing on Christmas isn't necessarily littered with, you know, many appearances. I think it's about nine times or so since 1979.
Last time they were on at Christmas, they got cooked, and I was pissed.
Is that 2013?
It was the Paul Pierce and KG team.
Yeah, I think that it was 13 or 14 then, you know.
Actually, it might have been the year before. Now I'm getting confused.
Or 12. Yeah. Maybe 12. I think that's literally when I started, like a year before my Nets fandom began. But, you know, who would you prefer to verse on Christmas Day? Nets Celtics or Nets Knicks?
I think I'd prefer the Celtics. Like, I feel like there'd be an opportunity for a young, chippy Knicks team to steal a game where I think, like, the Nets would be more prepared going against Boston. And it's also a bigger storyline, like, Kyrie going against his former team on Christmas. Like, there's some bad blood there. Like, we know that some of the guys didn't get along. And I think there's a more competitive game in terms of, like, hey, these two teams are going to be competing for playoff spots and division spots.
Yeah, I think that I would prefer to versus Boston, and you know, I think obviously it would be more competitive, and there's the storylines that that's going to be there. But you know, the MSG factor, you know, if they continue to beat, I think last year they versus the Bucks, despite the fact that the Knicks were one of the worst teams, the Bucks were easily one of the best teams. You know, a Knicks-Nets sort of game on Christmas Day, you know, at MSG certainly wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility. And if anything, I think it almost might be that a little bit more likely, despite the fact that I would prefer it to be the opposite. But we'll get to Trae Young, you know, a guard at Summer League, and people are jumping in the chat saying that he could have been the guy that dropped that love to Kyrie and KD. But
he's very chatty too. Like, I would not be surprised if it was him.
He's a good player. He might feature in our top 50, hint, hint. he was speaking about his former teammate and now Brooklyn Nets, Taurean Prince. And this is some on-the-court comments. He can bring a lot. Taurean is a tremendous player. He brings a lot of skill on the court with his ability to shoot and pass. He's very smart. I think that goes very underrated. He knows how to make plays and when to make plays.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking like a ton of this because I think Trae Young has a good understanding of like PR in the NBA. He wasn't ever going to come out and say something negative about Taurean Prince. But I guess I view it in somewhat of a positive light. Like, he can do a lot of things on the floor. And it almost seems like he's hinting at like that maybe Atlanta didn't use him as much as they probably should have if they wanted to win games.
Yeah, I think the thing that sticks out is he knows how to make plays and when to make plays. Timing. And I think at timing and as a role player, I think that is almost the number one skill you need to have. You need to know when it is your time, when to shoot the shot, when to pass. Obviously, Trae Young isn't going to say anything negative, and I think he built a nice relationship there. But you know, anything positive about a net, we're going to talk about. So, I think the fact talking about his passing, I think I might have to delve into that a little bit. I've talked about Taurean Prince's defense and delved into some video on that for Nets Republic. But I'm excited to sort of have him as a role player because I think he is literally everything you want in a role player, minus the defense yet.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there is some intrigue in terms of like his playmaking and ability to ball handle, because I watched, I want to say, one of his best games. I don't know if it was last season or the year prior. He faced Chicago and he showed an ability to do a couple things with the ball that I don't think you necessarily relate to Taurean Prince.
Yeah, definitely. And just touching on before we move on in relation to off the court, as far as off the court, he was really helpful for me. I know Brooklyn doesn't have a lot of young guys, but off the court, he's a guy that's not going to be in trouble and going to be low-key as a teammate. He's a good person and a good player to be around. I think he's going to have a great season in Brooklyn.
Sounds like the perfect type of net. Like, that's the kind of person they want for the organization and the culture to represent the team. And obviously, it seems like he'll be a good guy in the locker room too, especially when you have a lot of personalities.
Yeah, and I think that obviously, you know, being in the market of New York, you know, he's not going to get caught up in those bright lights. You know, these guys are adults. I don't really care. You can be J.R. Smith and hang out with Rihanna and have Hennessy, but if you perform on the court, then awesome. But, you know, obviously, you know, we saw in Boston, you know, when the team went to Miami, we saw, you know, the rumors of, or it was confirmed by Jack McMullen and Kyrie Irving, the young guys going out to the club while Kyrie was putting in the work. So having Taurean Prince there, and obviously his established relationship with Kevin Durant, he's going to be a good fit on this roster no matter what. But we shall move on, and we will get to Joe Harris, one of our final topics. Joe Harris and Jared Allen have been asked to be a part of Team USA Select, and D'Angelo Russell has been rumored as well.
Well, I think I should ask you, how excited were you when you heard Joe Harris mentioned with Team USA?
They are going to shoot 100% from the three-point line. He is not going to miss a three in the FIBA tournament. I think the FIBA three, is it shorter than it is the NBA three?
It may be.
So if that just makes it anything easier, then Joe Harris is going to have a field day if he plays any minutes. But good recognition. Good recognition for the Brooklyn Nets system, for Jared Allen to get sort of involved with it and just be a part of it, establish new relationships with players and just the NBA brethren, I think is really positive for the Nets and these two individual guys. And, you know, you touched on it, Nick. D'Angelo Russell, I think, makes a lot of sense because if you're looking at the Team USA right now, with the amount of guys that are pulling out, and you guys have chatted about on the outlet, I've been, you know, sharing some stuff on the JBT Facebook, you know, you're better off going down the youth route. And D'Angelo Russell is a young guy. You know, he could be a part of Team USA in the next Olympics, not the 2020 Olympics, but the 2024 and beyond, because, you know, he's a growing player and he is growing in stature and in talent. So I hope to see him. He's my favorite player outside of a Brooklyn Nets organization. So to see D'Angelo Russell, Joe Harris in Team USA, it speaks well to them individually, and it speaks well to the Brooklyn Nets organization as a whole.
Yeah, and I'll touch on D'Angelo first. I think, honestly, there could be a small possibility for him playing in 2020 if he were to really, like, pop off and show them what's up this year, because he does have a really good skill set. And, you know, one of his biggest weaknesses is athleticism. And usually internationally, the players aren't as athletic as some of the NBA guys, so it could be an advantage for him there. And then I look at, you know, Joe Harris probably won't make Team USA, but getting the competition.
Yes, he will.
I mean, who knows? Maybe like farther down the line, they have looked more in the role player route, and he fits, you know, that 3-point specialist if you're looking for that. And then Jared Allen, for him, I think it's great getting some input from some different coaches. Obviously, Greg Popovich, one of the best to ever do it, and then being around really good NBA centers that are a little bit more developed than him, sure can give him some tips and also help him just prepare for the regular NBA season. And I think Jared Allen could be a guy on Team USA down the line. Like, you know, if you're looking, probably not 2020, but if you're looking at 2024, hey, how his game develops and how he kind of fits, he could be the perfect type of rim runner, rebounder, and just do all the small things out there when you have the other superstars worrying about scoring.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll report on the buzz if there's anything that is certainly confirmed. But we'll finish with Kyrie Irving via Jackie McMullen. And there is no better person to look to when it comes to Kyrie Irving news than Jackie McMullen. You know, a trusted source. Kyrie speaks to Jackie in many ESPN pieces, and she's one of the best reporters in the game. But there was a piece, and she was on a Boston Celtics-centric podcast, and there were some comments that I think sort of stuck out, and this is via the Nets Daily article as well. But the thing that sort of stuck out was he needs to figure out how success works and how teammate works. What did you think about that specific quote before we get to some other ones, Nick?
Yeah, I think it's pretty spot on. Like you said, Jackie McMullen is one of the best. She's extremely credible. She tells it how it is. She doesn't really have that bias. And I think it says, like, you know, Kyrie wants to be a leader, but he just, like, almost doesn't really know how. And I think she talks about that a little bit in there. And he just needs to have a better understanding. And hopefully he can use last year at Boston as a learning experience moving forward.
Yeah, and I think in relation to that, this is what she sort of said. Kyrie is a bit of a shock and awe guy, much like LeBron. Passive aggressiveness to some degree, and in relation to Al Horford. Al Horford likes to kill you with kindness, a velvet hammer, if you will. And I don't think that it registered with Kyrie. So even if he tried, I don't think it registered with Kyrie at all. So I think that that dynamic, now that you replace a lot, it's a completely different situation in Brooklyn. I kind of really like the fact that people keep discrediting Kyrie, because it just adds more fuel to the fire. And if he does anything above these horribly low expectations from NBA pundits, then it's going to be a surprise and they're going to have to eat their own words. But I think, yeah, the leadership questions are certainly an issue, but within a new context and new environment, I think he's still figuring that sort of stuff out. But he now doesn't have to just be the bona fide leader. You know, DeAndre Jordan has some leadership behind him. You know, Caris LeVert's growing. Spencer Dinwiddie, I think, is a nice person and obviously teammate and friends to sort of speak to. And, you know, Spencer said that in December he almost knew that Kyrie wanted to be there. And funnily enough, in the same interview with Jack McMullen, that she said that she was hearing by December that Kyrie was frustrated with Danny Ainge. You know, Kyrie never told necessarily Jackie McMullen why, but she did say that, you know, she heard of rumblings around the organization that he had soured on Danny Ainge and the organization by December, despite the fact that obviously those comments before the season. So plenty of stuff to sort of take from this Jackie McMullen, and she's awesome. I can't speak highly enough of her, but certainly worth reading and listening to the podcast, and if you haven't done so.
Yeah, I mean, some really good insight, and I think that kind of explains more. Maybe there was more issues with the Boston culture than people want to bring on. Like, it's interesting that a player would be upset with a general manager or president of basketball operations, whatever Danny Ainge's position is. And, like, that would have an impact on how he feels. Like, because there's just not necessarily always a ton of, like, contact and, like, how much of an impact he could have on Kyrie. And getting back to the Al Horford thing and the leadership, like, I think KD being there will have a positive impact too, because there's already some positive relationship in there. And I think Kyrie, what he knows about leadership, the only thing he really knows is LeBron. And yeah, LeBron's leadership is kind of weird. Like, it's not just, like, direct. You know, He proves what he does by on the court and working hard off the court, like his work ethic. And that's what I think Kyrie tried to do, but the Boston players didn't necessarily buy in completely on that, because I think she mentions on the podcast as well that Kyrie was the hardest worker on that team. And I think he wanted his teammates to follow, kind of how you saw Cleveland Cavalier players follow when LeBron was there.
Yeah. And I think in that sort of context, you know, he was traded to Boston, and despite the fact that, you know, there were so many expectations on him and he loved it and he was speaking so highly of the situation, people can change their opinions. Whereas now he has chosen in free agency to be on the Brooklyn Nets, to join with DeAndre Jordan, Kevin Durant, to join Kenny Atkins, to Sean Marks, the organization, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert. So I think that is the number one thing to sort of take from, you know, the differing situations in Boston compared to Brooklyn. I like what you said there, Nick, about, you know, Boston culture in general. I think we said about Jackie Mack earlier on a Brooklyn Buzz as well, the living situation, just living in Boston is different to living in New York. You know, Kyrie can find the sort of outlets outside of basketball more easily accessible in a city like New York. You know, whatever sort of chakra third eye bullshit that he wants to do and, you know, post on his Instagram and stories and restaurants and all this sort of stuff, he's going to find that and find it around his brethren and also being close to home. But the final thing that I want to touch on, Nick, is this full quote around that sort of work ethic and leadership thing. Work ethic is not the issue. The issue is a warped view of how success works and how teamwork works. He hasn't figured that out yet. I don't know what will change in Brooklyn if he doesn't figure that out. I think his thought is, let's get everyone involved, and at the end of the game, give me the ball, the rest of you get out of the way. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely very interesting, like how, you know, that perspective, and, you know, it's fair, and that's kind of how you got the feel for Boston. Will things change to Brooklyn? Will he have more confidence in his Nets teammates because they work harder than some of the Boston guys? You know, and more points in that article, and you hinted at it with the whole Miami nightclub thing. You know, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum didn't prepare for NBA games or work as hard as they probably needed to because of some of the success they had in the recent season, the recent postseason. They felt like, hey, we're already at this level. And it felt like it rubbed Kyrie the wrong way. And another thing that she points out is, like, he kind of lost hope and faith in the Boston teammates and also in Brad Stevens as a coach with the whole Gordon Hayward situation. So it's going to be really important for his teammates to get confidence from him and for Kyrie to have confidence in them and in Coach Kenny.
Yeah, I think that obviously you have the superstar player, you cater towards him, but, you know, there are so many varying situations where Kyrie is going to have to be a bit more flexible and malleable in himself and his personality. But I don't think that he has to change that much. I think that, you know, he needs to have, I've said this, you know, more than any other, I think that the relationship between him and Kenny is going to speak volumes. And obviously, I think Spencer can be a bridge between that. And I think already has been, because, you know, Kyrie, and when they were at the Harvard Business School, would have been asking Spencer, so, you know, what's Kenny like? You know, is he like Brad? Like, does he have these qualities? How does he challenge you? How does he make you better? You know, how did he make you a better player? Does he give you freedom? All this sort of stuff. You know, I think that I'm fascinated to see, like, what Jack Mack was sort of saying in that sort of last point. Kyrie's going to be the closer. When KD gets back, who knows? But I think that there needs to be an element of, you know, flexibility from Kyrie that I think he will have. But it's going to be fascinating in those sort of closing game situations. Whereas, you know, I'm incredibly confident with Kyrie and the ball in his hands in those sort of final game situations. He's proven it at the highest point in that shot over Stephen Curry, probably one of the best shots of recent memory in playoff history. But, you know, we've seen, you know, the misgivings, you know, when the ball went to Tatum in that closing moments. I think it was against Sacramento or Orlando, whatever
Orlando,
it might be.
Yep.
Orlando, my bad. So when Brad Stevens is calling out a play, you know, is Coach Kenny going to be like, look, we want you to go for a fake and then kick the ball out to Joe Harris for three or something like that? It's going to be fascinating in those sort of closing game situations, because I think that's where some tension could occur. But I think without sort of any... it's not going to be smooth sailing. And I don't think in any situation, especially basketball situation, smooth sailing is ideal. You don't want to have just it all go through. Without dealing with any adversity along the way, I don't think you can reach the pinnacle of what the Nets want to achieve. And I think this year, as a lot of people have said, is almost like a feeling out year. And I think it's almost positive for Kyrie Irving in that sense.
Yeah, I think the relationship with Kenny is going to be huge. And just based off of some of the stuff I've read from Jackie Mack and in general, it feels like Kyrie almost would want Kenny to be his coach because Kenny's willing to challenge him, where Brad Stevens at times was a little bit too passive. He just doesn't have that aggressive personality. But then on the other end of the spectrum too is like, I don't know a ton about Brad Stevens' relationship with his players in terms of like how much input he really takes. But we know Kenny takes input from his players, from D'Angelo Russell to Spencer Dinwiddie to Caris LeVert and some of the veterans on the team. And I think Kyrie will appreciate the fact that Kenny will listen to him on certain things and allow him to have an influence on what they do on the floor.
Yeah, and I think that Kenny said that himself in the speaking to Michael K, where he's like, we want to get KD as an assistant coach. You know, yeah. I think Kyrie has an incredible basketball mind. And Jackie Mack, you know, when he told her that, you know, he's a basketball genius, or he just said he's a genius. You know, he is a basketball genius. You know, you see the ball in his hands. No one can do what Kyrie Irving can do on the floor. Obviously, the questions are off the floor and the rest, but it's going to be a fascinating season. And obviously, these are all the questions we had before we got Kyrie Irving and a lot of topics we've spoken about before we even acquired him in pre-free agency Brooklyn buzzers. But they're going to be ongoing issues, and I'm sure we'll be talking about them over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I'm excited, obviously, you know, big personalities, big time players come with a little bit of baggage, and that's what you'll see. But it's how they deal with that baggage. And like you said, you know, to get to the level the Nets want to be at, they're going to have to deal with some adversity.
Definitely.
Jack, that wraps it up for us.
Yes, sir.
As always, big thanks everybody checking us out. You know, find us on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter, the J-Man at JBT. And then also you could follow me at OTG_Nick. You can follow the brand at OTG Basketball. And like we mentioned earlier, head to DesignTree/OffTheGlass. We got some Brooklyn Buzz tees, some other NBA t-shirts. We'll be dropping more all summer long.
Don't forget to hit that bell. Get notified about every new OTG video.